The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Are you into fantasy sports like we are? It's time to get the inside scoop on the sport and how it affects your team. This is Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams. It's a hard look at the transactions, the injuries, free agents, and starters. And the best part is, you get to ask the experts so you can win. Now, here's Dish Adams.
Oh, yeah. Here is Dish Adams live from the NICU. That would be the Neonatal Intensive Care Unit at Cedars-Sinai Hospital, which is basically, I have to just give all the credit in the world to this hospital. What an amazing place. First of all, it's a campus. It's not a place. It's a campus. And it is huge. And every person who works here, one's better than the next. Every one of them. I have to give all credit. I will devote my charitable leanings towards helping things for the people who work at this hospital, particularly the nurses at the NICU. You guys might have heard I have a baby girl. Yes, God's curse to those of us who act like me with the women is you get daughters. So you get to experience them dating men, hopefully not like you. And it's amazing. She's so far so good. She was 3 pounds, 11 ounces, which is tiny. She, in the pictures I've posted, she looks a lot bigger than she is. But she's tiny. She's a little peanut. She just crossed the 4 pound barrier. That's good. She's breathing well. That's good. Everything so far so good. And she's eating. You know, that's the key. Is they, you know, it's, they got to be able to breathe. They got to be able to eat. They got to be able to poop. You know what they say. Babies eat, sleep, poop. She's got to be able to do those things. So far, so good. And I have to tell you, no matter how well it's going, you just nothing can really prepare you for seeing your baby hooked up to tubes and machines and monitors and being in an ICU. I mean, she's still in the ICU, so it's very stressful. This is my stress relief, being with all of you, talking some football, talking some stuff. And I do have to say one side benefit of being here in the NICU, and knowing that her mom is not going to listen to this podcast, is that I can discuss, there are just so many hot nurses here. I mean, hot. Every one of them. I mean, of every variety, African-American, Latina, white, you know, Filipina, Asian, just amazing. Great. I kind of wish I was a single doctor. They must get to be with all the nurses. I mean, if you're a nurse, you got to, right? Doesn't the nurse go with the doctor? They all got to want the hot doctors. Anyway, I digress. Let's get on to new hope, new life. Let's talk about this. There is a new pope, and right now I'm going to bring on the pope of Fantasy Insights, Mike Neese. Mike, how you doing there?
Is there gray smoke that's going up over the needle, sir?
That's just what I'm smoking in the side room over here dealing with the stress.
Oh, okay. How are you doing, Dish? Congratulations.
Thank you, Mike. I am doing well. I'm exhausted. You know, we're at the hospital every morning by 6 a.m. We don't leave here till close to 11 p.m. You know, so it's exhausting, but, you know, life is wonderful. And
how is Erica doing?
Oh, she's exhausted, too, because she has to wake up. At least when we go home, I get to sleep. When she goes home, she has to pump for breast milk every few hours. And, guys, for any of you who have never seen the pumping of breast milk, this is just make you so glad you're a guy that you don't have to go through this. Now, I'm going to have to wake up and do the bottle feeding.
Aren't you hands-on with helping her?
I wish. You know, but it's not like that. It's not attractive. It's not sexy. You would think, like, your wife's got these big, huge boobs because they're filled with milk, and, like, you can make all the jokes, but it's just not sexy. And they got to put this pump on, and it's the machine, and it makes noise. They got to wake up every 3 hours and do it. It's just terrible.
It hurts, and it's exhausting.
Yeah, exhausting. Now, what was amazing is I saw the whole birth. Now, when my twins were born, they were C-section, so it's very different. This one, I was actually, like, I was there. I was holding one of her legs, pulling it back, you know, when the doctor was yelling, push. I mean, it's just insane to watch that. If anybody who's been in the room and seen their child born vaginally as opposed to a C-section, it's just incredible.
It's a very spiritual, special moment.
It really is.
It really is mind-boggling. I've done that myself, and it's just, you know, incomprehensible.
It really is, and you can't even make any gross, like, sexual jokes because it's just
it's totally inappropriate.
Yeah, and it's just it's such a beautiful thing, even though it's just so animalistic. But anyway, I was talking about there's new life and new hope and a new pope. And one thing, I got to say something. Someone's getting my goat, okay? Everybody is, I see all these jokes around Facebook like, oh, they just named a new child molester. And it's really pissing me off, okay? Now, only can you make fun of Catholics or Christians without a problem. And we know, I'm Jewish, okay? I got no dog in this fight. But you cannot say anything derogatory about gay people. No generalizations or stereotypes about African-American people, Muslims, anybody like that. But you can say whatever you want about Catholics or Christians. You can say because there was a problem with, so let's say even several priests, but it has to be less than 4 or 5% at most of the entire Catholic, you know, Catholic diocese. You had some issues, and you're able to generalize and make these child molester jokes about the Pope. It's so disrespectful. It just shows such degradation of what's happened in this country and how we look at religion and organized religion. And I'm sorry, but this decline is just, it's responsible for a lot of our problems. I got to say, I think the world needs a good Pope. And it needs Catholicism, and it needs faith. You ignore the 95% of the good stuff that these people do in countries all over the world, including taking in people on our own streets.
You know, when you have the media beating us over the head for the last 20 years with everything that's happening in every corner of the world, live as it happens, you know, we were better off almost being ignorant as we were 40 years ago when you'd maybe not find out things as much.
Well, you know, here's one of the things that with the media that I love, okay? You know, this is great. Israel has some flags put up because Obama's coming to town. So what does Israel do? They line the streets with American flags. You know, Israel, that evil nation. And apparently there was an error by the stitching company, and so the flags, when they hung the flags are now upside down. You would think there was an assassination. The media is covering this every chance they get. The upside-down flags in Israel. The upside-down flags in Israel. So it's okay to burn American flags in effigy. It's okay to kill American ambassadors and swear death to America if you're a Muslim. But don't you dare try to honor the American president and make a mistake on the flag. Unbelievable.
People make mistakes, and people have to adjust to that. I mean, everybody takes everything so seriously. Look at the cutthroat attitude 6 months ago before the election. And
it's ridiculous.
No matter which side you were on, when it was all said and done, one still has to respect the man and the office. It's the same thing with the Pope. You might wonder, well, gee, 76 years old and from Argentina, but my golly, the guy's been in office one day. Give him a chance.
Hey, did you see what he did on his first day? He snuck out the back. He went to a regular church and just showed up. His Secret Service was furious at him. He carried his own bags from the hotel. I love this guy.
And they said he cooks his own meals, too.
Yeah, Pope Francis. I heard he makes a good pozole, too.
He may be kind of a good no-bullshit kind of guy.
Yeah, I love that. So, you know, one of the things that I'm looking at, you know, I always like to look in the news. In the first segment, everybody knows it's garbage time, and then we get all the good stuff. The White House, as you know, with the sequester, has suspended tours of the White House. And this really gets me, because schools have field trips planned there from not only from D.C., but from all over the country, and that's part of the tour, part of the experience is to go and see the White House. Now, it would be okay with me if they were cutting everywhere. But are you kidding me? You cut this program, which costs about $175,000 a year to run, but you're going to throw a 50th birthday party for Michelle Obama with Beyonce and Adele, which is going to cost you over $10 million.
You find that inappropriate, do you?
The government is studying for $1.5 million. This is true, by the way. $1.5 million they're spending to study why lesbians are fat. Really? because in a study at a hospital, it showed that lesbians were fatter on percentage basis. 70% were fat. Well, you know what my theory is, Mike?
What's
they
that?
Don't eat enough meat.
You know, the other day I usually drink Mountain Dew, and I'm on the very portly side, I got to admit. And I drink Diet Mountain Dew because, quite frankly, I'm trying to contain my sugar content a little bit. But I love Dr. Pepper, and I hate Diet Dr. Pepper, so I had a 16.9-ounce bottle, and I took it from the refrigerator and brought it into the living room, and I said to Bonnie, I said, psst, you want to see some illegal Dr. Pepper? It's 16.9 ounces.
Mike,
this is
Mike,
illegal in New York today.
But, Mike, unless I'm mistaken, you're not a lesbian.
I'm not a fat lesbian.
Theoretically, I guess theoretically you are a lesbian. A straight guy theoretically is a lesbian.
I think
the reason for this, I have my own theories on this. I think it's because more of them are trying to be more masculine because, you know, they don't want the lipstick ones. They're putting on weight. That makes them look more masculine. And they don't have the aggravation of dealing with a man and having to do everything themselves for that man. So they're not running around all the time. So, you know, they got another woman who's doing stuff. So they're becoming like men, heavier. One of the stories I just absolutely hated to see, but I guess it's a sort of happy ending. Do you see this crazy woman? She jumped 8 stories to her death. She was holding a baby, and she jumped to commit suicide.
Oh, my God.
She landed on her back. The baby bounced off of her body, didn't hit the ground directly, fell onto the ground, and the baby survived. And the baby's in critical condition but stable. Amazing. That woman should have a special place in hell.
You know, I've stopped watching the news here. The other day, Bonnie had the news coming on, and hear about this baby shot in a crossfire in a drive-by shooting. And
that was terrible. I saw that Chicago, your town.
I can't handle that stuff.
Yeah, no, it's horrible. Well, let's get to some lighter stuff. We are going to have some NFL free agent movement to discuss. You know, it is a world gone mad in the NFL, so we'll talk about all those moves. Fantasy football legend Dennis Farrell will join us today. And I think we're going to have to remind Dennis. Well, actually, we don't need to remind him. He knows how we kickstarted his career on this podcast. We launched him into the limelight. And all of a sudden, since he was here, we're like the Midas touch. He came on here, and now he's a man. He's doing the armed forces. We'll talk to him about all that.
We're like ESPN Light anyway, aren't we?
Sort of. Micah James, the fantasy football magic man, we touched on this briefly. He has joined Fantasy Insights. And incidentally, FI.com is up and running again. Our player news is updated daily. The depth charts will be done by the weekend after everything settles down. But Micah James, we were 10th in the rankings challenge last year. We were still ahead of most of the big sites. But Micah was number one. And what's the old saying? If you can't beat him, you join him. So Micah, as you know, has been a regular on our Sunday morning podcast, Final Decisions on Blog Talk. He now, unfortunately, has some schedule conflicts on Thursday, so he's not on this podcast a whole bunch. But he will be doing his rankings and some other articles and blogging for FantasyInsights.com. We're very excited. To us, that's the biggest free agent signing of the offseason.
Before long, he'll be catching passes from Dish.
We're also adding Doc Money's full season projections into our lineup this year, our famous crystal ball rankings. And we're going to bring back the Sunday morning podcast. I'm told Dennis Farrell, acting like a diva, he has not yet called in. So we'll wait for him over the break, and we'll kill some time without him and start getting the free agent moves. For those of you who are not looking at the minute-by-minute, Mike, you might not even know this yet. Steven Jackson just
signed
came across
with Atlanta.
My desk. Yeah, he just signed with Atlanta.
With Minnesota? We'll play that game.
Well, unfortunately, you know, we'll talk about that Percy Harvin, Christian Ponder thing and how that all shook out. But in the meantime, folks, I'm glad to be back. It's a good thing to come and release my stress and talk to you. Fantasy Insights Radio on a Thursday, and we will be back right after this. D's musical stylings taking us to the break.
Let's start the fucking show, eh?
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Every Wednesday, you'll want to talk sports with Touchdown Tony Collins and his co-host Bill Mattis. Tony's broken records and has been to the Pro Bowl and the Super Bowl. We'll talk about what's happening in sports every week with news, action, and notable guests from all aspects of the sports world. We'll also involve you by discussing questions and topics of interest sent in via email from listeners all over the world. Become what you believe. Tune into Sports Talk with Touchdown Tony Collins, Wednesdays at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Sports.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams, Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
It's Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams. Time for you to call in and quiz the experts. We are passionate about the game. Our toll-free number is 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to dish@fantasyinsights.com. Now, back to our game.
All right, it is Dish this week. I am back, and I am sequestered, if you will, here at the lovely Cedars-Sinai Medical Campus. I have found a private room in the neonatal ICU, which I could be kicked out of at any time. You're not even really supposed to have phones in here. I have my phone, I have my computer, and I got my boys with me. I've got Mike Neese here. But folks, it is time to introduce or reintroduce, or just bring back, shall I say, a fantasy football legend, and not in his own mind, but in our minds. We gave him a little bit of a kick in the butt when he came on, and before he, you know, now the Midas touch, all of a sudden, he's on ESPN, he's on Armed Forces Network. Give it up for the great Dennis Farrell. What's up, my man?
Wow, that's touching. I have a tear in my eye.
We should have had some music, a combination
did you hear the
of Anchors Away and ESPN theme.
Wow, that's... Have you seen Lindsay Lohan in there yet?
Have I seen what? I missed that, I'm sorry.
Lindsay Lohan?
You know what? I have not yet. I was hoping we were going to get the Beyonce suite for the birth, but we did not. I haven't seen Lohan. I'm not near the psych ward, though, so maybe that's why.
Do you know who I am? Fish Adam. Give me the room.
So we, Dennis, you, since we last spoke, you landed the ESPN gig, which I've been on your show once or twice. We had some fun, which is going very well for you, and I love seeing that. And then you just landed what I think is the most important gig in fantasy, which is providing fantasy updates for our troops on the Armed Forces Network. Now, at Fantasy Insights, we have a lot of subscribers who are active military, and one of my favorite things in the world is corresponding with our active military, who basically, you know, they say that a lot of times they're sitting in a foxhole, and they're literally, while gunfire's going on, they're thinking of who they're going to start this weekend. And that's not a joke. I'm not being funny. They are very much into it as an escape. So tell me a little bit about, tell me first, how did this come about, exactly what it is, and just tell me about it. I'm so excited for you.
You know, it's very unromantic. I got the ESPN gig, and, you know, something I've done, and I actually learned this through Major League Baseball player Brad Ziegler, who was huge in the troops, and it rubbed off on me, was I had a little clout behind me, done very little with ESPN Detroit, that maybe I could do something good. So I sent an email to their program director, who loved the show but didn't have a time slot. I waited about 2 weeks and sent an email back and said, hey, you know, maybe there's another role I can fill. You know, this is something passionate to me, and I will 100% work for free. They came back with, like, you know, maybe like an update kind of thing. We'll give you 60 seconds, 60 seconds in five or six times a day. And I said, I'll take it, anything.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's kind of how it happened. I'm doing it for free, and I love it.
Now, tell me exactly what for instance, like, give me an example of what is contained in an update. I mean, I know during the season you'll be updating with stats, I would imagine, on game day, and during the week who to pick up. What are you updating now, the free agent movement? Are you doing the updates now?
Free agent, I'm doing some baseball. I'm blindly filling my way through this because try to make a point with less than 60 seconds because you have like a 12-second opening, and then you have like 45, 55 seconds to set your point up, to throw out some stats, and to wrap it up in like 40 seconds. Oh, my gosh. I'm in over my head sometimes.
No, I know how difficult that is because, you know, for the last 6 years, I did a spot on NBC TV here in L.A., and it was the Dish Adams Fantasy Minute. And I had to fit all of the free agent moves, but talk over video of my three pickups, the three guys to pick up and one guy to stay away from, and get all the text and all of that into a one, you know, a 60-second segment. People don't realize how hard it is, how much work it is to write that short. It's easy to write long. But to write short and to be concise and get all the information you need and still be able to throw in your personality and not just have it be a newswire, that's very difficult. So I'm really happy for you that you're doing this. You're probably finding a groove, I would imagine.
Not yet. I'm in my second week of doing it. And, you know, people don't realize it can't be 59 seconds and it can't be 61 seconds. It has to be
right.
60 on the dot. And now you find yourself going, what do I have to add? What do I have to take? I'm clueless sometimes.
Well, you know, I will give you the one tip that I learned from the great Fred Rogan, the dean of L.A. Sports. He's been on the air here for probably 30, 40 years. And what he told me was look at your pacing and space out your words when you need time. Don't do it with your text. Space
wow.
it out and accelerate
like
your
Yoda.
Speech. So, for instance, if I need to get done in 10 seconds, if I need to say, Reggie Bush signed with the Lions and it's a great signing, there's two ways I could say it. I could say, Reggie Bush signed with the Lions and it's a great signing. Or I could say, Reggie Bush, he signed with the Lions. I really like that signing.
Oh, wow. I'm taking notes.
Pearls of wisdom for you, my man. Pearls of wisdom.
Hopefully you have some work because I need all the help I can get.
Listen, I will tell you one thing. I would do it for you anyway, but for our military, anything. Anything you need, Fantasy Insights will fully support. In fact, if you wanted to do some subscriptions or give anything to point them for the military, it's on us. I want to do anything we can to support what you're doing because I'm a huge, huge believer in supporting the military however we can.
Absolutely love it. I thank you so much, and I'm sure they will, and I can't wait to talk to you more about this.
Yeah, we'll talk about this a little bit more off air. In fact, you know, Dennis, what we should do is be the first fantasy guys to do USO. We should go over there and do USO.
You know what?
I can sing
it. Laugh, but I put in for my first USO tour. I'll probably get denied because, let's be honest, I'm just some guy on AM radio, but I tried it. Let's see what happens.
Let's see what happens. You got to take me with you if you go. I got to go to the field.
Let's do it, man.
All right, we're in.
Luck,
all right,
I'll be sent to Virginia with my luck.
No, hey, your luck's been pretty good right now. I'd like to get a little of your luck. Now, we're going to talk right now, since we were talking about it, Reggie Bush. He's the Detroit guy. I think you and I might differ a little bit on him. I saw that you weren't as high on the signing as I might have expected. You're in Detroit, so what's the feeling there, and what's your feeling about Reggie Bush and his impact on the Lions and his fantasy impact?
The feeling, you know what, the feeling here is everybody loves it. I am on the fence. I can be teetered either way. Let's be honest. The Lions are a team that, for whatever the reason, does not draft healthy people, does not sign healthy people. Reggie Bush, last couple of years, has been relatively healthy, but he's had knee issues. This is an offensive line that can't block up the middle. Reggie Bush is not a run-up-the-middle kind of guy. I worry. You still have Joe Bell and Mikel LeSure. What is his value going to be? Nobody truly knows.
See, my take on this signing, I actually love this signing for the Lions, and I love it for fantasy, and I'll tell you why. My take is they have LeSure to run between the tackles and pound the ball into the end zone, and I think he's proven he can do that, but he can't sustain a full game's work. He's just not dynamic enough. To me, this Reggie Bush signing signifies to me that they're going to go heavy with Scheffler and Pettigrew and two tight end sets, K
Calvin Johnson. They're not going to make a big push for another receiver, and they're going to line Reggie Bush up all over the field in the slot and really get him the ball out of the backfield. And I think that's a great role for him and a great fit in that offense. And that's my take. I mean, and I think he has a pretty good year, but better receiving the ball than rushing the ball.
Isn't he really going to be filling the role that Javid Best was supposed to fill?
I thought that was what Joe Bell was doing. Let's be honest, Joe did not have a horrible second half of the season. You know, and it's, I liked Joe Bell, and he ran up the middle pretty decent. And I think one more year, Joe Bell could have been above average running back. Not a great, but above average.
I thought he could challenge the starting job myself, yeah.
Well, the one thing you guys aren't acknowledging, though, is that Reggie Bush is an extremely difficult cover for linebackers as a receiver. He's a very accomplished receiver of the football. Joik Bell could catch the ball out of the backfield, but he's not a receiving running back. Reggie Bush can run a pattern in the slot and make things happen. He's a guy who can run down the sideline on a fly. He can come down. I mean, he can basically be a de facto slot receiver, whereas Joik Bell is not that dynamic receiver, and certainly LeSure is not. Let's move on to Arizona's moves. They acquired Drew Stanton, which I actually think is a good move because he's familiar with that system and they have nobody else. Rashard Mendenhall, never been a big fan. What are your thoughts about him going to Arizona in that offense where Arian says he's a three-down back, Dennis?
If he's healthy, you know what? Who knows? I think it could be a great move if he's healthy. But once again, another guy that could not stay healthy that gets booted out of Pittsburgh. And let's be honest, Pittsburgh holds on to valuable players until they soak up every little bit of talent, and
that's right.
Then they let them go. And Mendenhall's still young. They let him go, and you have to wonder, when a team like Pittsburgh lets a running back go like you know, Rashard Mendenhall, what does he have left?
Yeah, that, and I think his attitude last year was, hey, these guys, Dwyer stinks and Redmond stinks, and why are they playing ahead of me? And he started creating problems, and they thought that was a very divisive influence. Sean Green signed with Tennessee. Is that going to hurt Chris Johnson's value?
I didn't even know Sean Green was still in the league. Yes, it definitely will. In all seriousness, it definitely will. I think we've all said at least once that, you know what, I kind of like Sean Green if he's in the right offense. I don't know if Tennessee's the right offense, but I think it's going to be right enough where Chris Johnson should not be a first-round draft pick next year.
Well, that's a bold statement, because I think C.J. Still is a number one, or not a number one, but a first-rounder, but that's interesting to hear that you think he downgrades that much. Yeah, I thought Sean Green would have been better off in a place like Pittsburgh or Miami.
I'm 100% with you, but you have to wonder. They bring in Sean Green, who was not useless for the Jets. They bring him in, and there has to be a reason why they brought him in. They didn't bring him in not to take half the carries away from, you know, CJ, right?
Yeah, I mean,
from Sean Green's standpoint, why would he go to a team that has a dominant running back like Chris Johnson?
Well, I think
unless
because
he couldn't get another offer.
Money. Yeah, he really wasn't going to get offers to be the featured back anywhere. And maybe part of the plan is that Chris Johnson is going to be playing more in the slot. They'll do some two-back set. Minute left before the break, but let's real quickly. Steven Jackson to Atlanta just happened. In about 30 seconds, so you got to practice on your time here, Dennis. What are your thoughts on that move?
Absolutely love this move. Look what Michael Turner's done in this offense the last couple of years, and how many times have we said Michael Turner's done? Michael Turner will not be useful, and he has a 1,000-yard season. You know what? CJ just had a problem getting in the end zone. We all still love him. People say he has, you know, injury problems and tread on tires. He's not going to be the focal point. I absolutely love him here.
Yeah, I will tell you that I have 30 seconds left now to the break, Dennis, so I'm going to give you a little clinic here. Everybody for Fantasy Insights Radio, when we come back, we're going to talk about the wide receivers with the indomitable Dennis Farrell, the king of Air Armed Forces Network. He is the king of ESPN 1090 in Detroit, the Fantasy Sideline Show. He's also our friend. And now that there are 10 seconds, I am enunciating to take us right in to the break.
We'll be back after this. Slower.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Looking for the best show about horse racing and handicapping? Want to play the ponies? Join us every week for Winning Ponies with John Englehart, racing's regular guy, where you'll go inside and behind the scenes with the top jockeys, trainers, agents, and handicappers in the world of horse racing. This show is the perfect complement to the Winning Ponies handicapping website. Listen for top plays for the weekend and the spot play of the week, and win prizes just for calling in. Winning Ponies with John Englehart is live Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Network.
Kevin Lewis has been a student of the game his entire life, from Little League to the NFL. Tune in Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, right here on Voice America Sports. Hustling with K. Lewis. It's not where you start, it's how you finish.
This Is It Sports is an engaging talk program that includes you, the experts, and sports, all moderated by Coach Carl Hargrave. We'll talk about what's going on in the general sports world, collegiate and professional. Take a look at youth-oriented sports, athletic development and sportsmanship, faith, and where it has its place in sports, along with a lively discussion with Coach Carl every week. Tune in to This Is It Sports with Coach Carl Hargrave every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
It's Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams. Time for you to call in and quiz the experts. We are passionate about the game. Our toll-free number is 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to dish@fantasyinsights.com. Now, back to our game.
Always easier coming in from the break than it is going out to the break. But another one of those pearls of wisdom I learned from Fred Rogan is hurry early, not late. Hurry early. Very interesting. So, for instance, get all of the information you can out as fast as you can at the beginning while you still have the time, and then slow it down to the pace you need to finish on time.
But you put the listeners to sleep that way.
Oh, no. It's all about the inflection. See, you lull them in for the inflection points. Dennis knows this. He's got it down. All right, let's talk about some wide receivers. We're here at Fantasy Insights Radio. We have Dennis Farrell of the Fantasy Sideline Show, ESPN 1090 in Detroit, and the Armed Forces Network with us. First one I want to talk about is Wes Welker / Danny Amendola. Now, Welker obviously went to Denver, and everybody, I'm going to go on a limb now. I've been writing this and everything I write. I tweeted it. I put it in our player news. Danny Amendola is to New England, and everybody is moving Danny Amendola up their draft boards to a top 10 receiver. And I'm telling you right now, he is the most overrated receiver and the biggest bust of 2013 based on where he will be drafted. He will be the most overdrafted, overrated player. He is not Wes Welker. Wes Welker is amazing. Danny Amendola is amazing when healthy sometimes. What are your thoughts?
Here's what I keep telling people. Danny Amendola is the best wide receiver that only plays 9 games a season. And in all honesty, I'm a diehard Patriots fan, and I hated seeing Wes Welker go. But let's be honest, when the Patriots acquired Wes Welker, all he was a special teams guy. And a superb, don't get me wrong, a superb special teams guy. I think he still holds a ton of Miami records for kick returns, you know, kick returns, yards, and all that in the season. Could they do the same thing with Danny Amendola? Well, they showed in the past that they can take average people. Look at Tom Brady, you know, was like 299 or 199 overall and turn them into Hall of Fame players. I think a year from now, maybe 2 years from now, when Danny starts getting a grasp of this offense, I can bite more. But he has to show me he can stay healthy and not be a Chet Ochocinco where he couldn't pick up the playbook. I'm passing on him this year, but I'm keeping an eye on the situation.
All right, see, now what you just said, I have no doubts about Amendola's ability to pick up the playbook, and I have no doubt he's going to develop an incredible chemistry with Tom Brady running routes without pads on. But Danny Amendola cannot handle the hits that he will take in the slot. If you watch Wes Welker and the hits that he takes, because Brady will throw you the ball if you are open, even if somebody is going to come clobber you and take your head off. Amendola has not proven that he can stay healthy for extended periods of time. He's had multiple injuries, and some of them quite serious. I just don't have faith that he can stay healthy. He's only played 12 games in the last two seasons.
Yeah, I
believe when he plays, he'll put up numbers. But, you know, Wes Welker averaged 8 receptions and close to 100 yards a game. Averaged. Danny Amendola only caught 8 passes in more than 3 games last year.
You know, one interesting sidelight to this, too, is everybody thought that the Welker and Amendola things were bang-bang with Welker going and then Amendola. But in reality, according to Pro Football Talk, NBC's fine service, Welker signed a day after Amendola. Amendola signed with the Patriots on Tuesday.
Yeah, well, they knew that Welker was gone. What happened?
So they knew
made Welker an offer. They made Welker an offer that he didn't like, and so he left.
Yeah.
Now, I get it. Amendola has better breakaway speed and could play the outside a little bit, whereas Welker really couldn't. But I think the Patriots have some serious problems on offense because Brandon Lloyd doesn't look like he's going to be able to come back the way that they're talking about his attitude.
He was on the road out about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, his attitude is not real good. I'm wondering if maybe they got something in the works for Greg Jennings.
I was going to say, don't put anything past the Patriots for making a draft day trade too for a stud wide receiver. Or a wide receiver none of us have heard of, like remember the deal for Wes Welker, and I don't remember exactly. I want to say it was like a number one pick or a number two or a three pick for Wes Welker. Everybody scratch their head going, what are the Patriots thinking in 6 years later? Look, I don't doubt the Patriots' ability to pluck people we've never heard of and turn them into superstars.
I agree with you.
It was just the journeyman back when he came to the Patriots.
Okay, but let's talk about one thing. The year that the Patriots had a great chance to win, Welker is left in the game. I can't remember if it was the year that they got knocked out of the playoffs before the Super Bowl when they lost to the Giants. I think Welker played in that Super Bowl, so it was the year before. They were all signs where they were going to the Super Bowl. Belichick left Welker in the game in a blowout in the last game of the regular season. Welker tears his ACL, and the Patriots start losing fast. When he's not in that lineup, there's been a different team. And Julian Edelman was not the guy who could replace him. He gets hurt. Everybody who plays that position gets hurt because Brady puts them in a position to take big hits. Welker knew how to take those hits. I'll tell you the guy that I'm looking at, this is my dark horse prediction. If he gets cut, this guy is going to end up being a bigger impact player than Amendola on the Patriots because they'll sign him right away. Devon Best in Miami. I would love to see him in the slot for the Patriots.
As a raw receiver, Amendola probably has better tools than him. But it's just not as likely that he's going to stay healthy.
So, Dennis, are you drafting Amendola high in your leagues? Where are you drafting Amendola?
I'm not touching Amendola. As big of a diehard, slappy Patriots fan as I am, I go by one rule. I want healthy players on my fantasy team. And Danny Amendola has not shown that he can stay healthy. I don't care. You know what? Just because he went from the Rams to the Patriots does not make any leg injury he's had in the past any more healed.
Now, similarly, what are your thoughts about Wes Welker in Denver? I think the biggest impact of Welker to Denver is for Demaryius Thomas, who's going to get more single coverage and less safety help over the top. He'll be more one-on-one. Is Welker going to put up big numbers for the Broncos?
I don't know. I, you know what? I think this is a situation where everybody who says they know is just an educated guess. I'm 100% with you with the Thomas thing. I think the big winner in this is Thomas. I think, you know, it's a team now that has, what, you know, Decker going to play the other side. I'm wishy-washy on Decker. Last year he had like 79 receptions. That's definitely going to take a cut. Welker had 118. I don't think Wes Welker sees 90 receptions in the season anymore while at Bronco.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Sticking in receivers, you saw Anquan Boldin went over to San Francisco. I think that's not so relevant fantasy-wise, but very important for their ability to win. I like that a lot. The move that is – say that again?
I disagree. I think Bolden going to the 49ers is a huge fantasy move. Because remember, when he was lined up against a superstar wide receiver in Fitzpatrick, he had 5,000-yard reception seasons, and three of them were over 12,000 yards. He had like 7, 8, 9 touchdowns lined up across from a stud wide receiver. Now, Michael Crabtree, many argue, you know, he did enough to be considered a stud wide receiver going into this situation. I think Bolden goes back to being Scottie Pippen again, where he's going to get, you know, a lot of one-on-one coverage. And I think this could be the biggest fantasy move of the season for any of the wide receivers to help their value.
Yeah, and I think it makes a huge difference also for Vernon Davis, who will have a lot less pressure now that Bolden will take some of that off of him. Yeah, it's interesting. So you're upgrading Bolden quite a bit. What I was segueing to is what I think is the biggest wide receiver move is Percy Harvin. And Percy going to Seattle, but again, Percy is a guy who I'm always slow to draft because of his health issues. Where are you on him playing with Russell Wilson, being able to make those double moves while Russell scrambles around back there?
Yep, I'm 100% with you. I think we both are, you know, I think, you know what, I don't know if I use the word glorified or undervalued, but I think he would be compared to now as a Pierre Garçon with, you know, an RG3. You know, Pierre broke a lot of deep passes because RG3 was running around. The defense did not know how to guard him. And it made a lot of opportunities for Pierre. And I think you see the same kind of situation between these two.
Yeah, a guy with good speed, who runs good patterns, and is aware of the quarterback is impossible to guard with a scrambling quarterback buying time. Very interesting to me, there's not as much hype about Mike Wallace, who went to Miami. And by the way, I think Miami's doing some great things in free agency, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. Getting Ellerbe and Wheeler in the middle of linebackers. I'm real concerned, though, about their running game, and my fear for Mike Wallace is I'm not upgrading him yet. In fact, I'm downgrading him at this point, and the reason being is not because of his talent, but it's because he is going to have safety help over the top on every play until Miami proves they can run the ball, and I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball by losing Jake Long and putting in Lamar Miller, who's not as good a runner as Reggie Bush is when healthy. What are your thoughts?
I'm with you. People have tried to tell me, look what Brandon Marshall did when he was with the Dolphins. But the problem is Brandon Marshall was more than a one-trick pony. And I see, you know, Wallace as a one-trick pony. He just runs straight and you throw the ball up. He to me, his value is going to be downgraded. And I'm still working this out too. Let's be honest. I think, just because he's wearing that white and teal or whatever they're calling that new color now does not excite me one bit. And, you downgrade quarterbacks too.
Yeah, I mean, he's still got Tannehill throwing him the ball. And Tannehill, while he looks like he has a big arm, their offensive line is going to take a big hit losing Jake Long. I don't care what anybody says. Jake Long, yeah, he's had some injury problems, but he's still one of the best tackles in the game.
Yeah, you said it best. And, you know, the problem is, look what teams did in the first 9 games of the season with a Calvin Johnson. You know, they basically shut him out. At like game number 9 or game number 10, Calvin was like the 25th or 26th best wide receiver. I kind of see that situation where teams are like, you know what, you hurt me with what else you have, but we're going to take this guy out. And that's what they're going to do with Wallace.
Yeah, I agree. Now, the other exciting news that we got, and we'll segue into some more of the tight ends after this, is that Tony Gonzalez is coming back. I think everybody's happy about that. Everybody loves Tony G. The guy is just, he's one of those guys, nobody says, oh, I hate Tony Gonzalez. Everybody loves this guy as a player. Very happy to see he's back for Atlanta. They signed Steven Jackson. They must have told him that beforehand to let him come back. When we come back out of the break, we're going to talk about some of the defensive moves that were made. We'll talk about the quarterbacks and some of the line moves that had impact. I'm enunciating through the break. 10 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2. We'll be back after this.
Wow.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Lockdown Coverage.
Get ready to talk sports with the big guys. Tune in to Lockdown Coverage with Keith Lewis every Tuesday for the inside and outside of the business of sports. Keith and his guests will provide expert commentary and answer all of your burning questions about your favorite team, the players, and what's next. It's time to have fun with the game. Listen for Lockdown Coverage with Keith Lewis and his favorite co-hosts every Tuesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. The talk doesn't get any hotter.
Looking for the best show about horse racing and handicapping? Want to play the ponies? Join us every week for Winning Ponies with John Englehart, racing's regular guy, where you'll go inside and behind the scenes with the top jockeys, trainers, agents, and handicappers in the world of horse racing. This show is the perfect complement to the Winning Ponies handicapping website. Listen for top plays for the weekend and the spot play of the week, and win prizes just for calling in. Winning Ponies with John Englehart is live Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Network. Sports continues to grow and evolve to ever-increasing prominence in today's society. On All Around Sports, host John Inglesby will connect with the leading newsmakers from the sports world, including players, owners, and fellow sports journalists, discussing the top news and events that are relevant to sports today. John will also report from and offer his experience of the world's top sports events. Tune in to All Around Sports with John Inglesby, Fridays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
It's Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams. Time for you to call in and quiz the experts. We are passionate about the game. Our toll-free number is 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to dish@fantasyinsights.com. Now, back to our game.
You know, I was talking to our good friend Doc Money, and he told me that he thought the Chiefs were going to win 10 games this year with Andy Reid at the helm. And this was before free agency started. And I told him he was crazy. They'd be lucky to win 6 games. Now, after seeing the moves the Chiefs are making, I have to say, Andy Reid, man, with him at the helm, what they are doing, they have added Dante Robinson on defense. They just added Sean Smith at corner. So they've got him opposite Flowers, and they've still got Eric Berry going to come back healthy at some point. They are really building a strong defense that's filled with playmakers. And on offense, you've got Jamaal Charles, who's going to step into that LeSean McCoy, Brian Westbrook role. Alex Smith is a completely competent quarterback. They got Dwayne Bowe back. Donnie Avery will help stretch the field if he stays healthy, and maybe Reed will get Jonathan Baldwin to play. I really like what the Chiefs are doing. On the flip side, Baltimore has lost Ellerbe. They've lost Ray Lewis, Kerry Williams, Kruger from their championship defense, and Reed. Pollard. Ed Reed and Pollard. I don't know what they're doing. I mean, they signed Chris Canty, but he's a totally different kind of player. Maybe they're going back to that 4-3, and I think Dansby may be signed there. Dennis, your thoughts on the Chiefs and Baltimore and what's going on, trajectories? Give me some feedback.
Chiefs, I think when Andy Reid went to Philadelphia, did we all say the same thing? Look what he's doing. Look who he has. You know, and over the years, he's filled in expectations. And I think this is just going to be a little more of the same. I think the next regime that comes in will be benefited by what Andy Reid's done now, but I think we're 3 years away. We're 4 years away from the Chiefs being a serious contender. I don't mind it, but are we going to get the Alex Smith where he was not competent in the 49ers offense and he was benched or started against again and started and maybe he was cut? I mean, people forget about those years before he went on that 2 year streak of being competent. Which Alex Smith are we going to get? And as far as the Ravens, I trust in Ozzie Newsome. I think Ozzie Newsome is the man with the plan. I know it sounds like I'm talking out both sides of my mouth, but I kind of just I think Ozzie Newsome has championship pedigree, and he knows what he's doing.
You know, I really agree with you 100% on Ozzie Newsome. He's got something up his sleeve. I don't know what it is, but I think he's going to sign guys like Carlos Dansby, guys who are coming off of years where they played hurt, and he's going to be able to sign them under value. He must really like the depth in the defensive prospects in this year's draft to let the guys go that he's let go. I think that's another thing. I don't totally agree with you on the Chiefs, though. I mean, I think Alex Smith is a good fit because when I say competent, he can run Andy Reid's offense because Andy Reid puts his quarterback back of the line of scrimmage. And Alex Smith flourishes when he doesn't have to be under center. I think also Jamal Charles, to me, becomes a top five pick playing with Andy Reid as his coach. What do you think about that?
I'm okay with the Charles thing, but I mean, was I the only one that thought, you know, Matt Castle was going to be a competent quarterback coming from New England and the 11-win season he brought them to and then going to the Chiefs and he was going to be the same thing? It could be another Matt Castle.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not drafting Alex Smith for fantasy. Don't get me wrong. I just think he's competent enough to get the skill players enough fantasy points where they're all relevant. And I think Charles is going to step right into that role and absolutely flourish.
I don't disagree about Charles. I love Charles. Worried about being the injury from, what, 2 years ago now. It's an afterthought. I'm not worried about his performance. Andy Reid has shown in the past that he is a running back-friendly coach. It's everybody else I'm a little worried about.
What about Drew Stanton in Arizona? Is he worth consideration as a fantasy starter? He's going to get that starting job based on who he's competing with. I think they're going to cut Kevin Cobb probably tomorrow before 4 o'clock. It saves him a couple million and $6 million on the cap.
They're talking about Cobb going to the Jets already.
Yeah, what are you thinking about Drew Stanton?
As an RB number two, why not? Let's roll the dice. Showed he was competent with the Redskins.
I don't know what you're talking about. Drew Stanton?
Sorry, my phone cut out on me.
Your phone cut out on you. I'm talking, Drew Stanton is going to quarterback in Arizona. What are you thinking that he'll do after his, you know, he's got a couple good games in Indianapolis replacing, I guess it was replacing, what was that name, Curtis Wheeler? Was that the guy? Did I get that right? Or Painter?
Or Golaski or something?
Yeah, Golaski. And Stanton, actually, he's 2-2 as an NFL starter. What do you think of him playing with Cardinals with that offense?
I had another call, so when you were saying that, I was like, did he just say what? What did I miss today? That was what was going through my mind. But in all honesty, look back at what he did as a Michigan State Spartan. You know, in the NFL, why not? Yeah. Oh, man. Now I sound like an idiot 2 minutes earlier. You know what?
Oh, you thought I said Cousins. Your phone cut out. I get you. They're both Spartans.
But you know what? I'm going to pass up on him. And I'm only because of they brought in Cobb. We all loved Cobb. They Skeleton, maybe some of us thought, you know what, he could be competent. Just throw the ball up and let's see what Fitzpatrick does. But, you know, if you put a quarterback in, a quarterback's only as good as the team around them. And they've not done enough to show me that they've upgraded other spots to make the quarterbacks better. Cobb could have been an okay quarterback, I think, if they put in more than just a running back, Beanie Wells, and me and you on defense.
Now, Denver signed Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie on defense to bookend with Champ Bailey and Tracy Porter. They signed Luis Vasquez to protect Manning and at tackle, and or rather guard, and then they signed Wes Welker. Is Denver now the front runner to go to the Super Bowl in the AFC?
Sadly, yes. As a Patriots fan, I hate to say that.
I think they have to be. Now, quickly, because we only have a little bit of time, Matt Flynn and Ryan Mallett are two backup quarterbacks sitting there that should be starting somewhere. Agree or disagree?
I think Ryan Mallett, yes. Matt Flynn, he had the opportunity to win that job and got beat out by a rookie who showed he was very capable.
But look who that rookie is. I don't think you can fault anybody for losing. I think Russell Wilson, in retrospect now, if I'm drafting a new team right now, I think he's a top 5-6 quarterback in the NFL to build a franchise around after what he showed last year.
I'd have to agree with
that. I don't disagree at all. But from what everything we all heard was Matt Flynn never had a chance going into this competition. Maybe he was just totally outplayed and made him look bad, or maybe it was Kevin Cobb 2.0. I'm more inclined to say Ryan Mallett than over, you know, Matt Flynn.
Now, now that Castle went to Minnesota, Mallett's probably staying put in New England. David Garrard and the Jets, any chance he's going to have success and they're going to do well with him?
No. You know what? I know everybody makes fun of Sanchez, but, you know, people still forget Sanchez brought him to 4 AFC championship games. And, you know, if Sanchez was used right, and when I say used right, it was, you know, at one point, you know, Rex Ryan had a leash on him, kept him limited, and he was more productive that way. If they kind of go back and say, look, you're not Brett Favre. It's not the Wild Wild West. Stop flinging it up. You're going to be back on the leash. I think Sanchez could be okay again.
Yeah, I think that the biggest problem Sanchez has is his first couple of years he had an absolutely dominant offensive line and a dominant defense, which was able to mask his skills, and that's no longer the case. Their offensive line is weaker, and their defense really isn't good. Dennis, tell everybody where they can find you.
FantasySidelineShow.com or Dennis77Farrell on Twitter or just Dennis Farrell on Facebook. That's
Dennis Farrell on Facebook. It has been our rare pleasure to have Dennis Farrell on the podcast today. And while we were at break, we did a little negotiating. He's coming back, and he's coming back often. I thank Mike Neese, senior writer for Fantasy Insights, who has picked up the slack while I've been AWOL. Dennis Farrell, thank you so much for joining us, my man. I'll look forward to talking to you soon. And everybody, go support Fantasy Sideline Show and Dennis's updates on Armed Forces Network. You go to FantasyInsights.com for all your NFL player news. I'm Dish Adams. We'll see you next week.
Have a great week, guys.
The weekend is coming up, and now you know what's going to make you a better fantasy player. Tune in again next Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, for more of Fantasy Insights on the Voice America Sports Channel. Don't forget to visit FantasyInsights.com, the best fantasy football site on the net.